All right, welcome back to Seeking Scale. Andy, how's it going this week?
It's going well. I feel like I've been a bit stressed out the last few weeks. Definitely not everything back to normal, but we kind of got through the big push we were working on. Matt is officially on paternity leave, and like things haven't completely blown up. So it's been a relief, at least in that sense. But yeah, how's everything going on your end?
Good, good. Yes. So, definitely kind of still on like workcation, which is, kind of stressful, super stressful sometimes because there's just work that has to get done. And I'm used to working, 30, 35 hours a week. And now, supposed to be visiting family and hanging out with the kids and my wife and stuff. And so just being stretched then a little bit there, finding myself working evenings a decent amount, which is nice. I mean, I can get things done asynchronously to catch up on email and help with support and things like that. But, like today I have like 7 phone calls. And so it's just like I'm stuck in the hotel room all day in there at the beach. And so that's just like, yeah, I mean, I think we'll talk about it later, but I, feeling today, especially like I wish I could just take the week off and we're just not there yet. So that's definitely something that I think we need to talk about.
When you have 7 calls in a day, you don't need to like name the people, but like what types of calls are these?
Yeah, pretty much every day we have a team call, or a group kind of call within the team. And then I have 3 or 4 calls with customers. Some of them are sales calls. One of them is one of our enterprise customer. And well, you're one of them. That counts and doesn't count. That's the majority of it is like team calls, calls with customers or prospects. Yeah. And then, I have calls with hiring, like interviewing and, calls with friends and stuff. So, I mean, yeah, some of them are fun for sure, but it's still time.
Yeah, it's something that I've been thinking about a lot more recently is similar to this, where it's just getting out of the business, at least the day-to-day, a little bit more. And I do see the benefit of like, especially when you're on a vacation, of like actually being able to have the vacation. But right now, for me, even it's just the realization when we were in that kind of crazy push of managing all these projects while having individual contributor work that fell to me. And it just wasn't sustainable, but it stresses me out because I know that IC work has a lot of leverage and is very important, but it just isn't moving forward. And I'm not able to give it as much attention as I'd like to because I have to do all these other things. And it just seems like a no-win situation. That was just kind of where we're at in the last few weeks. It was just this project. Just really revamping our trial sequence is incredibly high value. It's not something that would make sense to bring someone else in and have them do because just the onboarding and all that would be insane. So, and it just so happened that it was when Matt was leaving and everything else. So it was just like the time I probably could have picked a better time, but once I got started on it, it was like, yeah, like I'm just gonna have a couple shitty weeks getting through it. But I'm just really that experience made me realize that I don't want to be like the purely strategic CEO or even owner, at least in the short term. Like I am okay having management responsibilities. I think the company would need to be a lot bigger before that would make sense to have like other significant number of like other managers. But I could also see myself like giving feedback and potentially doing some edits on copy, things like that. But like, I don't want to be doing the first draft. I don't want to be responsible for moving the projects forward. Like the execution component really just shouldn't come from me. So it's taken a while for me to come to this realization because I know I've always said I want to like hold on to those things for so long, but it's just as the team has grown in other areas and all of that, it's just harder and harder to actually do that and do it well. So that's just kind of where I'm at with things.
Yeah. I mean, I can relate. I think that there's just kind of like literally just so many hours in the day, right? Like there's only, 4 or 6 hours of really good work that I can put in a day. And the rest I can do email and all this kind of stuff. But like the time where I really can contribute is just limited. And I think that this is one of the really hard, I don't have a lot of answers to this, but I think this is one of the really hard things of like purely bootstrapping a company is like, if you can only hire somebody every 3 months or something like that, as you're growing, and at the beginning, you can't hire anybody for the first year and a half, is that you're just stuck being the visionary, being the owner, manager, and being the executor for like a long time for a lot of the product or the company. And I think it just wears on people. And if you look at saying like, hey, I want or need to do this for like 5 to 7 years to get to, you know, we're doing $5 million or something, like you're going to burn out, you know, if you're the person kind of executing and with strategy and vision doing those super high leverage things. That, like, I think that's why I can see that's why people want to take more money early to say, like, I know I can't do this or I don't want to do this. We're going to, you know, give up 20% of the company to get $1 million. And, you know, from there, I will be out of the driver's seat for a lot of these things. And there'll be other people that are better than me at executing these things. I can be the person to orchestrate it and have the vision. And yeah, you know, revise copy and do product testing and, you know, collaborate on design and things like that. But I think early on, just get out of that individual contributor mindset. It just kind of like thinking out loud, that might be like, if I ever do this again, that might be how I do it, is just raise a pretty good amount of money up front and not be the person responsible for basically anything.
No, it's what Jordan's doing.
It's what Jordan's doing. Yeah. I mean, you know, I know a few people that are doing this now. I don't know if I can say their names because we talk in confidence. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a smart move. And I think investors want to see that too, right? Like, you know, I was chatting with one of my mentors the other day, and they were like, hey, you know, if you raise this money, you need to not be the head of product anymore, right? You need to have someone who is much better at product than you are. And you can chat with them just like you chat with your marketing and your, you know, support folks about, you know, what's going on. But like, you shouldn't be in any of those meetings anymore with kind of the rest of the team. You should have like a management meeting once a week where, you know, product and engineering and sales and marketing all kind of report to you. You chat through things and that's it. And then the rest of your time should be freed up. But that's, yeah, I mean, like you're saying, that's like a whole nother level.
Yeah, it's interesting. So Ben, who's been working with us as like a senior backend engineer, is really from a consultative approach where he's helping us get things better, running better, more sanity, and he's acting as in kind of Matt's place while Matt's gone, but just giving us a clearer plan for the architecture and just how to manage as much data as we have and all of that. But he has like ambitions to potentially buy something on his own and run that and grow that. And I just remember when I was talking to him about it, we bought SaverSim when it was doing, I mean, it could support one person full time effectively. And like, I wouldn't do that again. I mean, I think in this specific case, it was obviously worth it because we felt so confident in where we could take things and working with Matt and all of that. But like, I would only buy something probably doing like at least 500K a year and probably $1 million or more a year. Cause like you have to have a team, like otherwise you go nuts. And I think it depends on your personality as well. Talking with on my podcast probably years or two ago with Tyler King from Less Annoying CRM, talking with him about onboarding employees. I'm just like, yeah, we just don't have our shit together enough to have a clear onboarding process and get someone ramped up. And this sounds like, how do you do that? He's like, well, I just am okay with it taking longer and taking a lot more of my time. And he's like, I will just work more closely with them and say, okay, like we're going to spend a few months on this before you're really as productive as you could be. And I was like, oh, like, yeah, that makes sense. Like, but I just feel like maybe it's my personality, maybe it's what like industry we're in and all of that, but I'm not quite ready to go slower intentionally. I think on some level, I do have to accept it. And that's kind of what I've done recently with the focus more on process and building out the team is just say, okay, like, yeah, I'm not going to be able to move forward on marketing as much. I need to get some of my time back from other places and build the business a bit stronger. So I'm going to slow down a little bit. But yeah, I think you just need a team around you if you want to move quickly without it all falling to you. And if you also want to, yeah, again, just like that move quickly part is a pretty big component.
Yeah, I think the industry you're in dictates that a little bit. But I also think it's just a personal thing of like, I mean, your industry is not going anywhere, right? Like, I think podcasting probably isn't either, but I think both of us feel like it might be, or maybe, you know, I always say
there's like a wave we're trying to catch, or, and you're worried, like, yeah, just
yeah,
things are changing. Yeah.
I try to check myself with that to say like, am I just taking myself too seriously? And do I just think that this is more cool than it really is? That's very possible. If you look at like, yeah, you're running a CRM, or like, you know, now I know that like what Tyler's running is more of like a business tools kind of suite. Like, it's not going anywhere, right? Like one of the guys from the first Tiny Seed batch, Less Accounting, you know, Paul, like he could literally run that business the rest of his life and it'll be, you know, the market dynamics will be exactly the same, you know?
And that's also not to say that those guys aren't ambitious. They are, but I just think they have different ambitions, but also different stresses and different like short-term plans that they can think a bit longer term, or at least they do think a bit longer term. Yeah.
Yep. Totally. And I think it can be the decision you make, right? Like it can be that I say, we're never going to raise any more funding. You know, we're just going to make this a lifestyle business quote and be happy with growing 2% a year. And there's nothing wrong with that. Like if it pays the bills, this is a good, you know, spot to be in. And I think at that point you can say, look, I'm going on vacation for 3 weeks a year. We need to figure out how to make that work. As opposed to, you know, I think that we talk ourselves into thinking like, this is so important. I have to be here. I'm so key in this. And maybe the reality is that you are key in it, but you don't have to be so key in it to where like, I mean, I know that like, I just fool myself or convince myself that I have to be here instead of being at the beach with the family. And sometimes it makes me really sad. Most of the time I'm good with it because I really enjoy doing this, you know? And I think it's just having the optionality to unplug sometimes would be really nice. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, and I feel like we're actually at a spot right now where we're closer to that than we ever have been. And I think that's obviously what the trend should be. But it's, yeah, there's always going to, with us just around new sports starting up, I mean, the way that's kind of how we ship out new architecture changes and all of that's when the customers come in. Like, there's always going to be these waves where, like, it's kind of all hands on deck for a month. But it's been great where I haven't gotten into the inbox, like, at all. Our team is able to handle that. And when we've had issues, like Ross and Chris from support, they're in the morning, they're telling our team when these issues come up. And then when John gets up, he's on the West Coast, he's able to then get those fixed. And we have these things done by 1 p.m. and the games don't start until 7 p.m. And like customers, for the most part, haven't even been aware of it. And it gets resolved quickly without a ton of stress. And like the system is working. There's still some chaos in there, but like it's been great having a team that is now able to fix things without pulling everyone else in. But I think, yeah, there's a lot more I want to do there. And just getting a taste of that now is making me realize how much more we can do there to really streamline things, to get everyone focused where they can add the most value, and just kind of making it not necessarily async, but just removing as many people as, like, only having as many people as absolutely needed in each process. But on your side of things, like, where do you have to go? What are the things that keep sucking you in that you would have to like go of or have someone else do to really get where you want to be?
That kind of like framework idea is like really helpful, you know, to me, because like it's like whack-a-mole. Like once I get this taken care of, then something else is going to pop up that's so much more important to me and I have to take care of. So like the way I kind of think about it is like, you know, what's taking up a bunch of my time that I don't have to do and that someone else can be better at and that I can relatively easily offload. And one of those is definitely sales. You know, for me, like sales is something that isn't, like, I'm not the only one on this earth who can do sales, right? And so like, we've been kind of like half-assed looking for a salesperson for a while and, you know, whatever, haven't found the right person, haven't felt a big need, I guess, to bring that person in because I've been able to handle the sales calls. And then it's something like being on vacation like this where I don't want to do the sales calls this week. I'm like, okay, we need to figure this out. And the same for marketing stuff, you know, like marketing has been kind of on autopilot, but now looking at like, hey, we need to really affect this, or we need to really drive traffic, or we need to really increase our unique visitor to trial ratio. And like, then that draws me in, like you're saying with this onboarding stuff, like draws me in to feel like I have to spend like two or three really high quality hours over the next few days doing this. It's those kind of things. So, I mean, my time, you know, a big part of my time is like the highest quality time. And that is like calls with teams and the leaders of our teams for them to be enabled to do the work they do and take that and run with it as best as possible. And I think that's something that I'll always continue to do. The rest of it is like, yeah, say a little bit of sales, a little bit of marketing. And then the last one is kind of temporary, which is like really onboarding from a product and technical perspective our two new support team members. And I mean, I really am the best person to do that because I know pretty much everything about the product. And I don't know if this is right or not, but like the only other alternative is to have a developer do that. And they are the only ones that can do development stuff. And so like, if it takes 20% of my time for 3 weeks to, and it's not even 20, it's an hour a day for 3 weeks to really just, you know, dive into tickets and explain all the, you know, how this feature works, the idiosyncrasies of, you know, podcasting and RSS feeds, like it's a one-time thing that's kind of time boxed in terms of scope that like, I just have to do it. And then once I do that, then they can train the next people. So yeah, I mean, those are the things. And I kind of look at it like, you know, going back to your question of like, how do I think about or identify these is like, I think one good one is like, is this a normal job for somebody? You know, like is handling inbound sales a normal job for someone? Yes. Okay. Do we have enough work to hire somebody on a contract basis or, you know, full-time? Yes or no. Can I kind of easily offload this and it be like a high value thing that somebody else does? You know, and if all those are yes, then I think that it makes sense to go down that path. And I think, you know, something that's interesting is like, I've gone back and forth on this a lot, and maybe I've given you a hard time because you want to hire like individual, like super specific contractors for some roles. And I have seen the value of bringing on people full time, but am also kind of seeing now like the value of groups of super specific freelancers. So I don't have an answer, but you know, just like specifically give an example of it, you know, thinking about marketing, the way that we may be kind of building our marketing team is instead of, you know, we hired Denise before, and that was like, Denise is going to solve all of our marketing problems, you know, and like, that's a lot of pressure to put on one person. You know, you say that, or you say like the way we may be going now is like, okay, we need an SEO person. And like you and I are working with the same SEO person. That person is super skilled in all things SEO, all things kind of copywriting for SEO, on page, whatever. You have writers who are excellent at writing. You may need like a on-site conversion specialist to come in and audit what you're doing. You may need somebody from like an email perspective to come in and look at how you're doing lead magnets and conversions. A lot of those are either like definitely not full-time, but like can be kind of part-time, come in and do this 5 hours a month. And even if you're paying them $100 an hour, you know, like I think overall, one, you have the flexibility to kind of scale up and scale down different parts of that area of focus. But also like the person you're getting for each of those things, you know, like the SEO person we work with is totally amazing, you know, and I would never expect Johnny Marketer to have that level of skill. Yeah. And so I don't know, maybe I'm convincing myself that this situation we kind of find ourselves in is a good one, but I have an interview tomorrow for like what we're calling head of growth, you know, this person to kind of maybe kind of manage and oversee all of these freelancers or contractors and put the pieces together. But like, I don't know how important that is. Like, I don't know. That's, but
if,
that's,
if
that's
you don't have that person, does it then fall to you?
That's the question and maybe the issue. Yeah.
Right. Cause I was actually thinking a lot about this yesterday where, yeah, I don't see us ever really building out a complete like in-house marketing team. because we were able to work with specialists and don't have a full-time need for that. Like, I don't think it would make sense for us to bring on a very senior SEO person who that's all they're doing. We can get the results we need with someone part-time. And there's a few other places like that. But it's like the coordinating with contractors, though, it still takes a good amount of work. And it's at least higher leverage for you because you're not the ones, you're not the one like executing it all. But if you're really trying to remove yourself more from that kind of thing, like that, it sounds like having a kind of marketing coordinator who can be, they can handle all of the contractors and you work with them on strategy and make sure that things are going towards that. But like, that's seems like what the ideal would be.
But that's also just easy
to get there.
That's also just a, you know, 10-hour a week role, right? Is like, hey, we will talk about what the strategy is and you have the resources in the team of kind of specialists that we've put together and you should be able to go and run with it. If you find yourself needing a person that you don't have the skills in or that we don't have the skills in with other people on the team already, we can go find that person. But yeah, I agree. I mean, I think a marketing coordinator is a really key role if you don't want to be the bottleneck there, which I think I wouldn't want to be, to take the strategy from my end and translate that into implementation with the team.
You're right that like if that's all they're doing, that is 10 hours a week, maybe. But this is where, yeah, it goes back to that balance where I think in certain roles, we want people who are full-time because they're going to know the product deeper. They're going to just feel more commitment, more ownership, all of that. And it's like, this would be a role if someone's directing strategy on any level. It's like, I want them to be full-time, but to make that make sense, it would be finding other things for them to do with their time. So like, I don't think I would, at least where we're at right now, it's like, I wouldn't necessarily hire a marketing coordinator. It'd be like, I'm hiring someone right now who is taking a lot of my content marketing responsibilities over the things that's not necessarily just following a pure playbook, but like there's a lot of things that need to get done there and we'll work with them on doing that. And I could see that role potentially growing into something more than that, where on top of that, they're also helping coordinate with different contractors and that sort of thing. But it's like, yeah, we're not at a spot where it'd just be someone that's all they're doing, I think.
Mm-hmm. How do you, like when you look at your kind of week or month or priorities, how do you kind of evaluate, okay, I'm doing these things, I don't want to be doing them anymore. How do you start like going through the process of unloading that stuff?
I don't have like a great process for this. I think it's really just when I reach a tipping point, it forces me to realize I can't do everything I want to do. I can be optimistic in terms of estimating how much time it will take to get something done and how much time it'll take me to do all the other things that come up. And I'm like, oh yeah, I can knock this out. Let me work on this trial revamp project. And then it's like more things get piled on my plate. And it's just like, yeah, I can't do all these things. And so when that happened, yeah, I was just taking a step back and saying, okay, like I need to just slow down and not expect the trial stuff to get done overnight. And so that removes a little bit of the pressure for me, but then it's just figuring out what else is taking up the time. And because I also will feel like some guilt on a level of like, there's more I could be doing. This is like a high leverage thing, but then that means that I'm not writing a weekly email to our list. I'm not doing these other things because I'm barely getting this other thing done. So right now it's on the marketing side. It's less figuring out like what's taking up my time. It's more just, there's a lot of things that I'm just not able to do that I know we should be doing. So it's just clear to me, like I need to get someone in there to help me on that. And where I'm taking a step back on the other parts of the business is saying, okay, we've got some good process in place on support and QA, and that's made a massive difference, but I'm holding it together a bit too much myself. So it's like, all right, let me now work with the team to build better processes for this so that I don't need to be as involved and it can still run smoothly. And so there's the two components. So one is, okay, that side of it is taking up a lot of my time. The other side is just, these are things I'm not even doing. So hire for the things that I'm not able to do that should be done. and work on process to improve the things that are taking my time. And I think on support too, we'll probably bring in, I don't know if it'll be a VA or just someone very junior to do like a first pass, like tier one triage on the inbox. So that, because I think probably 80% of the questions that come in are very basic and don't require much knowledge of our product. And if I can get those things off of the plates from Ross and Chris, then those guys can start leveling up where they're spending their time and so on. So it's not like a clear answer, but that's kind of at least how I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. I mean, especially like the, we're not doing this at all. Can we bring somebody in, you know, fractionally to take care of this? I think that's really like healthy and powerful, like way to think about it. Yeah. And I guess the trouble in executing that, I feel like, is you have to just say, okay, I'm going to go do this. I'm going to find the person and then I'm going to onboard them or, you know, find a way to communicate my vision and importance and priorities and stuff to them. And I think that a lot of that is the same across several different functional areas, but is always kind of the barrier for me of like, you can get that like 80%, you know, but sometimes like sort of like marketing or support, even like all these things, you have like such a knowledge transfer that like, we're just trying to really put that in writing, you know, put it in Notion to where we can always go back and reference it later. And, you know, if we have to take one person out and plug another person in down the road, like it should be totally seamless, you know, like when you get to a certain point, like you look at, you know, Stripe hires a new support person, like they don't do anything different for that support person. That person just comes in, you know, watches the 20 hours of video, reads the 100-page document, and is able to go answer tier one support like that week. And so that's just like that kind of idea is where we're trying to get at with everything, you know, so like we don't want to, and we did it with hiring this time. You know, we totally did it with hiring. We have a standard fucking process that we run through how we do salary, how we extend offers, how we sign contracts, how we onboard people, to where like we need to go hire another person. A lot of those questions are answered. I feel good about that. And we're trying to just do as much of that, take the extra 10% of the time now to where like when we need to do this thing again, it's just zero extra thinking, you know?
Yeah. And I think that that's really what I'm working on as well, is saying, okay, we're onboarding Jordan in a couple of weeks. The first thing I want him to do is work on support, just because I feel like the more people that can help there, the better. It's also the best way to get even more familiar with the product. And in leading up to that, I'm going to clean up our support SOPs so that it's an easier process for him. And then once we've done that and probably I've made some improvements by working with him, then it's like get in that junior person on tier one. But it's just an iterative thing where it's never going to be perfect, but it can be a lot better than it is now. And just trying to accept that it's like, it's really for me, it's starting to see some wins in those areas. It's like, okay, if we just really double down on how we're doing this and actually put more thought into that, it could be even better. Let's do that and just accept that I need to give up some of my day-to-day stuff to get there because it's for the better of the company. And that's where, yeah, it just felt obvious. Like I'd need to bring someone in to pick up those things that I haven't been doing, but we'll see how it goes. I know we'll have a busy next few weeks for sure as I start bringing on more people and really digging into this more, but I'm definitely excited about it and feel more optimistic about things.
Yeah. Nice, man. Nice. Yeah. I mean, if folks listening have, you know, comments or suggestions or feedback on how we're approaching this or how you've approached it, we'd love to hear about it. podcast@seekingscale.com.
Awesome.
And chat next week.
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks everyone for tuning in.